Because I'm too lazy.
I'm sure there are other people in this room that could help you out, you know, for a certain amount of money. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's guerrilla action at this point. I mean, it's typically what, you know, we've been doing for thousands of years. And, you know, we come together in a venue where the public is, like the Blue Banana, right? Or, you know, what the Molly and Vision are doing, and the city, and the Marathon, and Damali's series that I mentioned, the Deverlet. You know, have you gone there?
It's on the Monday night one?
Yeah, 52nd Street, and so up there, 5225. And then we do broadsides, we do, you know, like, you know, whatever, you know, we go out there and we have to be like elves at this point, you know. We call each other and say, like we did Friday night, and get together, and you know, there's an issue or a theme, you know, like social justice, dealing with the strike, you know, the SEPTA strike or whatever. And
about Friday.
I've been doing stuff like that for decades, like, and you know. But this is what's great is it takes a while for me to get into it, because you know it's good to have fellow conspirators and people that are crazy like on that frequency that are because they're crazy because of conscience and craziness is, you know, extra logical and all that. It was cold, and but there was people gathering around, you know. You know, especially when Deborah showed up with her girls, you know, there was like all these like drunk men appeared out of nowhere. But they were for the drag reading, so I don't know what was going on. No, but it always happens. It's like carnivalution. You know, I've been reading with bands and on the streets since the 70s. Okay, I've also read. I've already, you know, Christian Association at Penn, at Drexel, at Temple, you know, in hoity-toity places, whatever. You know, I'm a sophisticated, but you know, I'm a barbarian. And, you know, I mean, you know, you got to get things moving, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things going on.
Additional questions from the audience, Jacob.
And then.
I just wanted to say something in response to the problem of poetic encountering with the rest of the world. I think there's really something different in what's happening now. Joe Bajant, who wrote Dear Hunting with Jesus, who may be the best spokesman on Class in America that I know of, he speaks of the American hologram. You know, it's like reality TV shows have nothing whatsoever to do with reality. Public life is so infused with these false concepts of reality that have nothing to do with reality. And poetry, by its nature, is subversive because it dissolves the false glue that holds the joints together, the joints of power, and that threatens people. So you've got some kind of a contradiction there that you got to deal with if you want to deal with the public. I like your identity as a concept, a cachet, an idea. I mean, this is what those power things are made of. Identity that hides the id entity that is behind it. And poetry points that out. By nature, then, it's going to be threatening. How do we deal with that if we want to speak to the public? And I think we do. I certainly do.
Unless you're writing by formula. Or that, you know, you're writing for tenure or whatever.
Anybody?
One thing that I just is, as much as there is such a thing as the powers that be, I think another large part of the problem, not to say the bigger problem, is the complacency of the larger public, and the power of those in power cannot be without the you know, the quiet acquiescence of everybody else.
That's the hologram.
Right, and you know, and I'm not sure kind of how to tackle it. It's obviously
that's a kind of neoliberal view. I mean, you're deciding that people are complacent when we don't know them. I mean, we can't know everybody in this country. But from what I find, they're not complacent. They're getting thrown out of their jobs. Their homes are being taken away. Their neighborhoods are being destroyed. and they're getting no help. Like the stimulus money, for example, up there at 39th and Brandywine. Okay, two summers ago, the unemployment rate amongst Black youth was 65%. To say coincidentally, the same as it was in Baghdad 2 years ago. Okay. And yet, like, when you talk to your average person, they know exactly what's going on. It's just that they're freaking tired, you know? They're browbeat, and they're getting angrier, which to me is a good sign, because you get the poet to come in there, like Francois Villon might, and, like, spring the shackles, or light the fuse, and bask in, the, you know, the change, the transformation.
Responses from this side.
Yeah, the idea of complacency. I mean, I think there's another element to this, and it's that people in the culture they're suffering from this information fatigue, this overload. It's not a matter of like, hey, I'm okay with what's going on, or like, you know. I don't know. Of course, people see what's going on all around them, but you know, as you say, it is a tiring factor. Where I think poetry has a possibility is that, particularly if you're encountering poetry in places that aren't officially sanctioned, like universities or, you know, the poetry section of a bookstore. But when people experience poetry in, you know, in the street, as this sort of, you know, people are so used to prescribed entertainment, and if there's a group of people on the street doing something, it sparks people's interest. Like, oh wait, what's going on here? This is a
yeah, like at Paulton Village maybe, but not in the Black Bottom. But the Black population, the Black minority, is that's what American poetry is about. That's where jazz comes from. That's where everything comes from. That they get it immediately. They're doing it. The kids are doing it. They're doing hip hop. They're doing rap. You know, it's like the respect. They didn't know that I'm a poet. They're like, and I just listen to them when you know they talk to me. People are always saying something to themselves. You know, the homeless are talking to themselves. You know, the crazy people are talking to themselves. But that's our language. Our American is such a great language. And we're on the level of where the Elizabethans were with Shakespeare's language. It's not true in certain areas. It's true with the bourgeois, but it's not true with the Black working class, the ethnic working classes. They know their poetry. They know their language. And you'd be surprised. You go there into the thick of it, and there's poetry happening all over, and they're willing to listen, and they know they're Americans. They know their poetry. They know what a poem is. Right. Except they're not getting any from us.
We're talking about what we're doing as poets.
Well, whatever. I don't believe in poets. I don't call my. I'm an oracle and an exorcist at this point.
I thought you loved everyone.
Why? What's wrong with being an exorcist? You only try to free someone from a demon if you love them. No, I don't. I think poets. You have to be dead to be a poet in this country, and you have to be dead. I believe in poetry. As for a poet's audience, the whole universe is a poet's audience. Okay, we got plenty of audiences.
People in all communities do listen. It depends sometimes, I think, on what type of poetry you're doing. I don't know how you take that, but there's different types. You know, you have the quote-unquote type of, I don't know, readable poetry.
poetry.
Then you have, like, spoken word. Then you have slam poetry. Sometimes this stuff, you know, overlaps. I would say I do more spoken word poetry overall. And I've been on the subway in, you know, North Philly or around North Phily with just me and one other poet doing spoken word. And I haven't seen anybody else. I can never remember seeing anybody on the subways in Philly doing poetry. And it's weird because before I came on the scene, that's what I would imagine about Philadelphia. You know, you go out there, you're going to see people on the subways. You're going to see people really going out there, you know, doing their poetry on corners and everything. And when I first came out here, I used to always tell my friends, let's go do this. Let's go on the corners and do our poetry. And they would look at me like, why? Am I trying to beg for money or something? And I'm like, are you serious? I thought this was poetry. I thought this is what it was about. So it kind of startles me that people don't do this out here. And I think that we should, because it just shows how much we're about what we're saying, and we just want people to hear. And I've seen, when we do our poetry, it's only two of us. We do the spoken word on trains, and all ears are listening. You have some people that just probably go to the other end of the train, of course. Some people that just like put their books higher and act like they can't hear us, or put their ears plugs in, whatever. But for the most part, a lot of people smile, nod their heads, and they give us money too, so whatever.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Couple more questions?